Now, we're holding the last word of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We started discussing yesterday the question of, so now we've been discussing for a couple of blocks now the matter of Hakosha and Hazama. Hakosha being when one set of Edim contradicts the other, but not in a way that blends them Edim Zomin, but just in a way where now we don't know which set of Edim to believe. So for example, Hakosha would be, we're going to have an example of it later on in the Gemara, let's say, where Reuven and Shimon come and say that Pliny killed Pliny, and then that second Pliny, the victim, actually walks into Beis Din, so obviously then they were false, they were testifying falsely. We can punish them, as we're going to learn there, but we're not going to say that they're Edim Zomin, and that we give them the punishment, Vasisim Loitash Azom. Then you have Hazama, which is where the second set of Edom come and say, maybe that happened, maybe not. We're not taking a stand on that. But we know you can't say that it happened because Imanu HaYisem, you were with us at a different place. You were with us in a different place at that time. And then the Torah tells us, Vasisim Loitash Hazamam, provided that the Gemar Din was done according to those Edim, that Beis Din did actually decide the verdict according to them, but then didn't actually carry out the verdict yet, then those Edim are chayev whatever penalty they wanted the person they were testifying against to do, whether it's Malkus or Misa or Momon or what have you. So, we were discussing the question about the interplay of Hakosha and Hazam. Suppose you have that Edim there's already been a Hakosha of Edim, and now later on there's a Hazama of those same Edim. Are we going to treat them as Edim Zomin with the rule of Vasisim like Hakosha Zomam, or are we going to not? So we had Rava saying that yes, it's called Hakosha Tchilas Hazamahi. Rava says the Hakosha is, you can consider it as almost like the first stage of a process that eventually may lead to Hazam. So just because there was Hakosha, in other words, we're not going to say, well, their Edus was Mukhash, their Edus was contradicted, therefore obviously we throw out their whole Edus. Now if later on we find that they were actually Edim Zomin, we're not going to do anything about it. No, Rava says the fact that they were already Mukhash does not prevent them from becoming Edim Zomin. Whereas Abaya, we said, disagrees with that. So we brought a Braisa in this connection. The first half of a Braisa. Now in today's Gemara, we're going to learn the second half of the Braisa that deals where Rava had understood that it deals with such a case. You had a case. Now we know, we learned in Masechta Kiddushin that if a master knocks out his slave's eye or tooth or any one of 24 other Roshei Evarim, then the slave goes free. So, a Braisa had said that two people came to Beis Din and testified that Pliny, the owner of a certain Eved, blinded his Eved and then blinded his eye and then knocked out his tooth. Then it turns out through Edim Zomin, the Mishnah had said they pay the value of the eye to the Eved. So, Rava had explained that actually the scenario is, the Braisa is actually starting in the middle of the story. First, you had two Edim that came and said that he knocked out his tooth and then his eye, which, if that were true, would mean that he'd go free because of the tooth, and then the master would pay him for the value of the eye. Then you have two other Edim come and say it was the other way around, that he knocked out the eye and then the tooth, which then the result would be he'd go free because of the eye, and he'd be paying only for the tooth. So therefore, they're trying to deprive the Eved of the value of his eye, or rather the difference between the value and the eye of the eye and the value of the tooth. Then other Edim come and Amazim, the middle Edim, the second set of Edim, and say, Imanu HaYisem, so now we have to figure out what we do to those Edim Zomin. So Rava says, there you have an example where there's Hakosha and then Hazama. First we have a contradiction between the first two sets of Edim. One says it was eye, then tooth. The other one says it was tooth, then, one says, the first one says it was tooth, then eye. And the other one says it was eye, then tooth. And that's Hakosha, because we have a contradiction between those two sets of Edim, and we don't know which one to follow. And yet we don't say, well, then we just throw out the whole Edus, and then they can't become Edim Zomin. We see that when a third set of Edim comes and says, Imanu HaYisem, we do consider them Edim Zomin. So Rava says, you see, that Hakosha, Tchilas Hazamahi, that Hakosha can be considered the beginning of the Hazama process, and we can still consider them Edim Zomin, should other Edim come and say Imanu HaYisem. So that was according to Rava, whereas Abaya had said that no, what we can be talking about. Now, according to Rashi, Abaya says we are in fact talking about that there were only two sets of Edom over here, not the only two, that only the two that it mentions in the Braisa, not a third implied one that Rava is talking about, because we're talking about that the second set of Edom did two things. They flipped around what happened, and they were mazim them. They said, Imanu ha'yisem, and it is true that this master knocked out the eye and the tooth, but he did it in the reverse order than you were saying. So therefore, so Abaya says, so it's not a matter of there was Hakosha and then Hazama, there was Hazama, and then they're doing Hakosha as well, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that there wasn't Hakosha before the Hazama necessarily. That was according to Rashi, and Tosfos had said that actually no, Abaya could be learning that there are in fact three sets of Edim, but just like Rava, but he would be saying that he would mean that the middle set of Edom flipped around. He would say the second set of Edom, the middle set, were mazim the first ones and flipped around. And so they said imanu ha'yisim, but they said also it was truth rather than I, rather than you're saying the other way around, it was first the eye, then the truth, not like you said, truth, then eye, and then that the third set of Edom coming was mazim, the second set, and therefore we uphold the validity of the first one, and therefore, so there's no hakosha involved over here, it's all hazam. So that's how Abaya learns the Braisa. We're not talking about that there were three sets. Well, so according to Rashi, we're talking about there were only two sets of Edom, and according to Abaya, we are talking about there were three sets all along, but he's saying that the second ones were mazim, the first, and then the third one's a mazim, the second one, and each one, when they're mazim, they also say the swip was the other way around. It wasn't the way you say it was. It wasn't I then tooth. It was tooth then I, or the other way around. It wasn't tooth then I. It was I then tooth. And Sabaya continues now, bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Mimai. Sabaya says, where do I get that from? Because he says, Midas Sefer B'Mepach V'Hazama, given that the Sefer of the Braisa necessarily has to be talking about where they flipped around the swip, and that they were mazim, reisha nami, b'mepach v'hazama, then therefore we should assume that in the reisha, we're also talking about that. So according to Rashi, in other words, Abaya's point is that since the sefer necessarily is going to have to be talking about two sets, then therefore we should also assume that the reisha is also talking about two sets in order to make things consistent. According to Tosfos, the vote would be that since the reisha, we're talking about that they're mazim each other, therefore since the sefer rather talks about where they're mazim each other, then therefore of necessity so does the reisha. So what does he mean? The Katani Sefer, because the Sefer of that Braisa, which we haven't quoted yet, says, so the first part of the Braisa had said that the Edom are testifying that he knocked out the eye and then the tooth, and according to Rava's understanding, that's actually the second set of Edom. There was a first set of Edom that had said the other way around, and the second set was coming and only being Makfish them, according to Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't disagree on how Rava learns it. Yeah, according to Rava, there were three sets of Edom over here, and so far we talked about only the second and last one in the Braisa. But now the Braisa continues. If we come and give Edos on Ploini Shehitel Shein Abdev Simas Enoi, that he knocked out the slave's tooth and he blinded his eye. And unlike the first part of the Braisa, in the first part we said Shaharei HaRav Oymatein, the master agrees with that, and we worked out what that means exactly. So we said, we said that the master would prefer it that way, because then he has to pay less. Here it's the other way around, Shaharei HaEved Oymatein. Here the Eved would be the one saying that, because he would prefer to go free only because of the truth, and therefore to get paid the full value of the eye, which is worth a lot more than that. So the nimtzu is zomimin, and it turns out that those Edom are zomimin, mashamans may ayin larab, then they pay the master the value of the eye that they were going to make them pay the eved. Now, so Abaya is going to show how this case, it's impossible to understand it unless we're talking about that they're being mazim and contradicting them as far as the facts of the case. In other words, they're being mazim them, imanu ha'yisem, and in addition, they're saying it's true that there was a knocking out of an eye and a tooth, but in the opposite order than you said. So Rashi explains, in other words, like this, and Marsha explains further in Rashi. In the Reisha, Fine. It would be easier to understand it the way Rava does, because since we have the expression Sha'arei HaRav Oymakev, in the Reisha we're saying the master is saying like that. Now, when we think about it, if they were only talking about that, if the Braisa was starting at the beginning of the story, and the Edom that come and said he knocked out the eye and then the tooth, we wouldn't say Sha'arei HaRav Oymakev. The master would prefer that those Edom had not come, because then he can keep the Eved. Now, the result of those Edom coming is that he loses the Eved. So we have no choice but to understand that we're talking about that there was, in fact, a previous set of Edim. When it comes to the Reisha, we have to say there was a previous set of Edim. So therefore, the point is, regardless, the master realizes, no matter what, I'm going to lose this Eved, because one way or the other, whether they say it was the eye first or whether it was the tooth first, either way, I'm losing him. I would at least prefer that I don't, in addition, also have to pay the value of an eye. So in the Reisha, there's really no choice but to say we're talking about that there was a previous set of Edim. There's no choice, because Abai after all holds differently. But the point is that the reason why Rashi explains why Abaya is saying, given that the Sefer has to be two, then the Reisha also has to be two, because in the Reisha it is much easier to say that it's three. It would flow a lot more smoothly. Once we say, though, that the Sefer of necessity has to be talking about Shtei Kittis, and necessarily we have to be talking about that the second set are flipping around the order of things that happen, and they're being Mazim, then Abaya says it makes it easier to understand, and in that case, better, rather than explaining that the first part of the Braisa is talking about three sets of Edom. Like Rava said, better to say that it's talking about only about two, and you have this Meipach V'Hazam. So let's analyze the second part of the Braisa again, where we said that the first set of Edom came and said that he knocked out the tooth and blinded the eye, and the Eved says, and the Eved would like it to be that way as well, because that way he gets paid for the eye. It turns out there's Zayin, and then we say we pay the value of the eye to the master. So Abai says, hey, Chidomi. Well, what's the scenario? If the second set of Edom are not even agreeing, they're not only being mazim, the first set, but they're also saying there was no injury here at all. They're saying you're testifying that this master knocked out his slave's eye or tooth. In fact, there was no such thing. Imonu ha'yisem, and we're not even testifying at all that he did that. Well, then they shouldn't just have to pay the value of the eye. They should have to pay the value of the entire eved, because they were trying to deprive the master of the entire eved, and therefore they should be paying for that. The first set of aiding. So therefore, of necessity, elapshita to komodo kula b'chavla. Obviously, we have to be talking about that both sets of Edom are all agreeing there was an injury over here. Or dekapchinan v'azninu. So we have to be talking about that the second set of Edom were flipping around. They were mazin them, and then they said, as a matter of fact, it did happen. There was an injury to an eye or a tooth. There was an injury to an eye and to a tooth. However, the other way around, then you said, it wasn't that there wasn't first the tooth and then the eye. It was the other way around, the eye and then the tooth. And therefore you were trying to deprive, in other words, it comes out no matter what. Again, no matter what, there was an injury that makes the Eved go free. You first Edim, who we found to be Zomin, were trying to deprive the Eved of the value of his eye, because you were saying he goes free. Or the other way around, you were trying to deprive the master of the value of an eye incorrectly, because you were saying that he knocked out his tooth first, which then makes the Eved go free, and then he knocked out the eye, which would mean that he should have to pay the value of the eye, and now it turns out that it's not so, so therefore you have to pay the value of the eye. So therefore Abaya says, so you see that in that case of the Braisa, necessarily, we have to be talking about that not only they're Mazim, they're also flipping around the script of what the order of things was as it happened. So Abaya says, given that in the Sefer, we have to say it that way, otherwise we don't understand the Sefer, then in the Reisha, even though you're right, in the Reisha we could have understood it that as being three sets of Edim, like Rava says, it seems more straightforward to explain that the Reisha and the Sefer are both talking about similar scenarios where they're Mazim and where they're flipping around. So according to Rashi, then the vort is that Rava is saying you have three sets of Edom in the Resha and two in the Sefer. According to Abaya, it's two and two. According to Tosfos, Abaya agrees that it's three in the Resha, but he's saying it's not like Rava was talking about where we were Maksish them first and then Mazim them, rather we're talking about where each set was Mazim and Maksish the previous one. And therefore, Abai says, you don't have any proof that Hakosha without Hazama is enough to, would actually leave their Eidos kosher enough for them to ever become Edom Zomim. Because again, that's the whole point we're discussing in the Sugya. If we were Maksish Edom, is it possible to be Mazim them later on? Or do we say, once we were Maksish them, that's it? We throw out their whole Eidos. According to Rava, no. We say we can still be Mazim them. According to Abaya, yes. Once we're Maksish them, then that's it. Therefore, Abaya has to have a way of learning this Braisa where there's no Hakosha in the first place, where everything is Hazama. Now they are agreeing that the actual facts happen, so therefore we can't punish the Edom Zomim we can't make them liable to pay, for example, for the full value of the Eved, because one way or the other, the fact is this Eved is going free. All we can make them pay is the value of the truth of the eye, and then in the second part of the Braisa, of the eye. They would be paying the value of the eye because they were trying to say that the Eved should be entitled to that value, and it turns out that it's not so. And Abaya continues, Vehechi Dami. So now we further have to consider what exactly is the scenario. In what order did things happen in Beis Din? Vehechi Dami. Either come Achri Achori Hani Basroi. If the later Edim are saying that things happen later on. So in other words, so the first set of Edom come and say, for example, that on Sunday he knocked out the master knocked out the slave's tooth and also blinded his eye. And then the second set of Edom come and say, no, it wasn't on Sunday, it was on Monday. Now again, they're saying on Sunday, Imanu Hayisem, so you can't have seen it at all. But they're also saying that on Monday. That this in fact did happen. The master did in fact knock out the tooth and the eye on Monday, but in the opposite order than you say, not the tooth and then the eye, but rather the eye and then the tooth. The problem with that is, if they're saying it happened later on, Akati Dmei Eved L'Rav Boi Shalomi, still the first set would have to pay the entire value of the Eved, because the time in which they're trying to be mechayev him is a time when the chiyuv didn't happen yet. After all, the first set of Edom are saying it happened on Sunday. Well, when it comes out, they're Edom Zomim, so it comes out already on Sunday they wanted to deprive him of his Eved. So therefore, it's true that eventually we find out, yes, on Monday he was chayev to free the Eved, because we find out from the second set of Edim that in fact all of this happened on Monday. Nevertheless, we should still hold the first set responsible for trying to deprive him already on Sunday of the value of the Eved, and we should make them pay the whole thing. Now Gilian Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, asks on that actually, and says that, still, how does it work out exactly? He says, the fact is, even in that case, by the time they gave Agus, he was really already chayav, because by the time everybody comes to Beis Din, it's already after Monday, and he really is chayav. So what would we mean by that? And in fact, the Tosfos Reed has a somewhat similar point. He asks a somewhat similar question and says it shouldn't really depend about the time that they're talking about. It should talk about when they actually come to Beis Din. Anyway, the point is there can still be a scenario where we're going to make the first set of Edom pay the full value of the Eved. Because we're talking about that they were made at a time when he wasn't yet chayev to free the Eved. So the answer is, Ella, no, we have to answer, the Kamakadmi Kadumi Hani Basroi. So fine, we have to explain that the second set of Edim are saying that it happened before the time that the last one say. So in other words, before the time that the first one say. So in other words, the first set of Edim come and say that on Sunday he knocked out his eye or tooth. His tooth first, then his eye. And the result of that, if true, would be that he has to free the Eved and he has to pay him the value of the eye. The second set of Edom come and say, Mono Hayisim, you were elsewhere with us on Sunday, but the previous Friday, he did the other way around. He blinded his eye and knocked out his tooth. So the first set of Edom are not being mechayev him in anything that he wouldn't have otherwise been chayev in, because he would have been chayev to free the Eved, according to the second Edom, whose Edus turns out to be valid, then he would be chayev ready to free him before Shabbos. By the time they're claiming that on Sunday, that it was the other way around, he would have been already chayev to free the Eved. So therefore, the only thing we can hold them responsible for is for the value of the eye, which they were trying to deprive him, whereas the second set of Edom come and say that he he's only chayev of the value of the truth. Further, Abaya points out, there's another detail we need in order for this scenario to work. We would also have to consider the Idolei Omad Badin. Now, if they had not yet gone to a Din Torah, if before the first set of Edom came, there had not yet been a Din Torah, because what would happen, in other words, once he knocked out his eye and tooth, or eye or tooth, as the case may be, and certainly both, then the Eved would bring the master to Beis Din and say, look, you know, you did this, you need to free me. The problem is, if at that point these first set of Edom come and say that, yes, we were there when it happened, that he knocked out his eye or his tooth, they would in fact be mechoyev to pay the entire value of the Eved to the master, because after all, the person himself was not chayev yet, because there hadn't been a din Torah yet, because So Rashi explains at that point he could have come to Beis Din, and at that point the master could have come to Beis Din and been moida, and since the whole concept of freeing the Eved because of the Shein Va'ayin is a knas, and we know that moida b'knas potter, then he could have actually gotten away with it and not had to free the Eved at all because of the eye or the tooth. So therefore, necessarily, don't we have to be talking about that it was after they went to the Din Torah? Now, Tosfos, though, disagrees with that and says that the fact is, we're going to learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, Machloikas, about, which we've touched on before, Moedim Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim. A person admits that he's Chayiv Knas, and later on Edim come and say, yes, he is Chayiv in that Knas. Do we make him pay the knas or not? When I'm machlokes Rav and Shmuel, even Shmuel, who says that yes, he would be chayev, that would only be after Omad Badin, Tosfos learns. If it was before Omad Badin, before they ever went to Beis Din, if he was moida, even Shmuel would agree he's potter when later on Edom show up. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Of necessity, we can't say that we're talking about that. We have to be talking about that he already went to Beis Din. Again, according to Rashi, because until they go to Beis Din, he always has the option of being Moja. And according to Tosfos, not so much that, but because until they go to Beis Din, we can't even call that he's subject to a chiyuv yet of freeing the Eved. To Ella, de Omer Badin. Obviously, therefore, we have to be talking about the scenario is they already went to Beis Din. So, in other words, what happens is, so the master knocked out the slave's eye and tooth in some order. Then the slave takes the master to Beis Din and says, you're responsible to free me. Now at that point, the master can't be moida and become potter anymore, either because we would say that moida b'knas v'achakach bo edim, he would still be chayev, or because according to the different opinions, whether he can be moida at that point. But in any case, instead of being moida, what happened was, once Beis Din said, yes, you are chayev to pay the Eved, now what happened was that the master ran away with the Eved, and he grabbed the Eved and ran away with him, and now the Eved ends up taking him to another Beis Din, and brings along Edim that say that you knocked out my tooth and you knocked out my eye, and therefore you're chayev to free me because of the tooth, as the first Beis Din said, and you're chayev to pay me the value of the eye. And now now other Edim come and say, Imonu Hayisem, you were with us at the time when you claimed that he knocked out the tooth and the eye. However, on a day before even, these first Edom are claiming, the master had already knocked out the eye and the tooth, and therefore, so now we have all the ingredients we need in place to be Machayev, the Edom Zomim, for just the value of the eye. We're not Machayev them for the full value of the Eved, because the master either way is going to have to free the Eved. It's not before, and the second set of Edom agrees, after all, that the Evan has to be freed. They just say things happen in the opposite order. It is after Hamodah Medin, so therefore the master can't get away with admitting and become and be Potter. And Abaye is saying there's no Hakosha over here. There's no point over here when the Edom are just being Machtish, or just contradicting the first set of Edom without also being Mazin them. So that would be the scenario of the Braisa, says Abaya, and therefore you don't have any proof from there that Hakosha, Tchilas Hazama, that if you say that if you were Makdash Edim, you can afterwards be Mazim them. In fact, Abaya says it's not so. If you were actually Makdash them, then you can't be Mazim them anymore, because at that point their Edus has become completely possible. Or not so much possible, but at that point we don't know which set of Edim to believe, and therefore later on there's no sense in coming to be Mazim in them, because their address has already been thrown out of base in anything. So therefore, Abaye says that is the scenario in the second half of the Braisa. And again, once we have that in the second half, of necessity, we have to be talking about that there's no Hakosha, only Hazama, and that there's only two sets of Edim. Then in the Braisa also, we have to understand that there are also two sets of Edim to be consistent, or according to Tosfos, fine. In the Braisa, Abaye says there could be three sets of Edim, but it has to be that each one is not only being Machish the other one, but more to the point that they're being Mazim. They can be Makish them at the same time, but the essential thing is that they're Mazim and they're saying Yimonu Hayis. So that's how Abaya would understand the scenario, and he would say therefore, there's no case over here where you have a kosher that then you can talk about later on whether there's Hazam. So now the Gemara asks, okay, well, now we have to go back and ask on Rava. Where is Rava being medayik from that he's saying that he's saying from this Braisa you can prove that Hakosha Tchivas Hazama, that he understands that the scenario is where there was Hakosha followed by Hazama and that works. Where is Rava getting that from? So where is Rava getting that from? Ilema me Resha. Or you're going to say that Rava is getting that from the Resha, and that Rava is going to explain the Resha the way we said before, that we're talking about there were three sets of Edim, etc., with that whole thing. You're going to say that Rava necessarily has to understand the first part of the Braisa that way. The problem is, you don't necessarily have to. After all, in the Resha, our middle set of Edom necessarily actually being Mukash, do we actually say that their Edus is cancelled out? Kiven de Eloi Loimitsimi, after all, if they hadn't been declared Edom Zomen, Sadusa Kavasayo Kokaima, we would have the Edos would have remained like them, the Dina Kavasayo Paskinan, and the reason is we would have ended up Paskinan like them, the Yesh Bechal Masayim Mone, because as the expression goes, 200 includes 100. In other words, what are we saying? In the Resha, the case was that the middle set of Edim, which the Braisa had begun by quoting them, according to Rava, we're talking about there was a previous set of Edim that we hadn't mentioned in the Braisa, but they were saying that he blinded this slave and knocked out his tooth. And it turns out we said it was the other way around, we're Mazim them, and we say that it was the other way around, he knocked out the tooth and then blinded the eye. So we say they have to pay the value of the eye to the Evan. But let's consider, in other words, if we hadn't been Mazim them, we would have Paskin like them. We would have said that the master only has to pay the value of the tooth, because we would say, look, one way or the other, the master does have to free the Evet, because either way, according to either set of Edim, he did cause him an injury that makes him have to go free, according to the first set of edim that Rava says are implied in the Braisa, we're talking about he's chayev the value, he's chayev the value of an eye. According to the second set, he's chayev only the value of a tooth. Fine. If nothing else, though, the master would have to pay the value of a tooth, because the value of a tooth is certainly included in the value of an eye. So we would have at least paskin like them. We would have at least said that the master is high of the value of the truth. So hilchach. Therefore, we would say on the contrary, kamayahu to come aschachi. On the contrary, if you want to talk about according to Rava, you want to talk about in that first part of the Braisa, you're talking about where there's a set of edim that have been mukhash, whose edus has been contradicted, and we're not following them. Actually, it would be kamoyahu to come aschachi. It would really be the first edim that are being contradicted, because we're saying that we're not going to follow them. They're claiming that the master is high of the value of an eye, and we're saying we're not going to do that. We're going to only follow what the second edim say, that he's high of only the value of a truth. So if you want to talk about hakosha, it's not the middle set, the first one that are described in the Braisa, that we were makish, it's the other one. So it's the first set that were not expressed in the Braisa, who had been contradicted. The second set aren't being contradicted at all until we find the Edom Zonin. So how is Rava proving from there? If you had a case where the Edom, where we were makish them, and we say, therefore, we're not going to follow what they're saying, and we're not going to pass in the din according to them, then you can call that hakosha. And later on, we can talk about whether there's hazama on top of that later on. But here, we're not being makish the second set at all. We're actually going to follow what they're saying. We're saying, look, the master has to free the Eved regardless, because no question, both sets of Edom agree that he has to free him. The question is only what other compensation does he have to give him? According to the first set, the value of an eye. According to the second set, the value of a tooth. Well, it's actually the value of the tooth that we're going to make him pay. So that's not an example of hakosha tchilas hazamahi. So how is Rava learning from there the concept of hakosha tchilas hazamahi? Omalei, so Rav Ashi answers. So Rav Ashi answers that. Rava Savar, that no, Rava in fact is figuring like this. Given that the first part of the Braisa has to be talking about three groups, because as we said before, that's the most straightforward way to understand the Braisa. Given that it used the expression Shaharei Harav Oy Mekain, because the master is agreeing with that. Now we said, if it was just the way the Braisa was given to us, where we're talking about that there were only two sets of Edim, and one set comes in unprompted into Beis Din and says that this master knocked out the eye and then knocked out the eye and then the tooth. Why would the master be happy with that? Adrabba, he's losing his Eved. So that was what made Rava have to say. We have to be talking about in the first part of the Braisa that there were three sets of Edom involved, and therefore, so now the master is figuring when the second set comes, look, you know, one way or the other, I'm going to be losing my Eved because there were Edom to the effect that I injured him. At least I'll get away with, I want to pay in the value of an eye, at least I'll get away with paying only the value of a tooth. So Rava figures, since that ratio necessarily has to be talking about three groups, therefore Rava figures that the Sefer also has to be talking about three groups. So now we're not talking about that in the Sefer you have an unexpressed group that you have a previous group that's not mentioned in the Braisa, because you don't need that. Rather, Rava is going to understand that the scenario in the Sefer is as follows. So medayik misefer. So Rava is going to figure like this. He's going to be medayik from the expression that it says Shari Ha'Evet Oy Mekain, and says that we pay the value of the eye to the master. So Rava understands like this. We're going to also beitre. What we have is two edim came, Amri, and they said hipil es shino v'sima enay. They say this master knocked out the tooth and blinded the eye. Now, so far, the result would be he's chayev to free the slave, and he'd have to pay the value of the eye. I skipped the line. And then based in paskin the verdict according to them, because so far there were no other Edom to contradict them, and it has to be that they paskin in order for Edom Zomim to come into play, because Edom Zomim don't come into play unless they can actually paskin the case. So then the also Beit Tirei Achrini. Then a second set of Edom came, but Amri Simas Edom Behipalas Shinai. They say the other way around, blinded him first and knocked out the tooth. So therefore, according to them, he's chayiv only in the value of the tooth. To come machushu lahu lahani tamoi. So they are being machush. They're not being mazim. They're not saying manu hayisim. But they're saying, you based it, you heard from this first set of Edom that it was in this order, first tooth, then eye, and therefore he's chayiv for the value of the eye. No, it's the other way around. He's only chayiv for the value of the tooth because the eye came first. So that's hakosha. So there is actual hakosha. And then the nimsu zomimen tamoi. And then what happens is, in the second part of the braisa, it's the first set of edim that turn out to be edim zomimen. So far, in other words, so now we have hakosha plus hazama, which is exactly what Rava is looking for. So in the sefer, so in the ratio, in other words, we said you don't really have hakosha and then hazama because you're not being makdish the second set of edim. On the contrary, you're paskining like them. Here, what we're saying is, you did paskin like the first set, because there were no other Edom at the time. But then, when the second set comes, then Basin has to reevaluate the case, and say, well, wait a minute, then, now that we have another set of Edom that say it was the other way around, we may have to reverse the verdict, because now we have new evidence. Now, when on top of that, you have a third set of Edom that come and say, Imanu Hayisim, to the first set, so the first set are actually becoming Edom Zomim. So now, Meshalmin Dmei Ayin Larav, now they're going to pay the master the value of the eye. So again, you're not talking about, they're not paying the full value of the Eved, because because both sets, or the first two sets, agreed that he is chayev to free the Eved. The only question is he chayev the value of an eye or the value of a tooth? The first set said the value of an eye, the second set said the value of a tooth, and we're mazim the first set. After we were already makdish the first set, so that would be where Rava proves from there that hakosha tchilas hazami, because Rava continues the isak v'dayt hakosha lav tchilas hazami. If you're going to tell me that hakosha is not the beginning of hazama, then in other words, once we're makdish the edim, then we say that's it. So everything we throw out their edus and we ignore anything they say from then on. Amai mashalmi, then why would they be paying? After all, they were contradicted to begin with. And then, therefore, we would say they can't become Edom Zomim anymore. Ela shmami no hakosha tchilas hazami. Therefore, Rava says, so you see from there, the hakosha tchilas hazami. So Rava is not proving, when we started the sugya, we said we brought the ratio of the braisa, and we thought that Rava is proving his point from there. Now we're saying not really, because in the ratio, you don't really have a true case of hakosha followed by hazama, but in the sefer, you definitely do, because you have, based in paskin like the first set, now based in is having to he opened the case because of the second set. And now, on top of that, we're mazim the first set, so now we have all the ingredients that we need to make them Edom Zomim. They testified. It was kosher to Edos. We had another set that contradicted them, but that wasn't enough to make us completely... We do have the Din Torah was paskin like them, which is necessary for them to be Edom Zomim. We had a second set was makdish them, and then a third set was mazim those same first Edom. So there you go, you have a hakosha tchilas hazama. So Rava is proving from that sefer, since of necessity, Rava says, it seems you have to understand the sefer of the braisa as talking about that kind of scenario, then you see that a hakosha tchilas hazama. Now, what is Abaya answer to that? Abaya, omaloch. Meanwhile, what is Abaya going to answer to you? So he would say, no, it's not really the same thing. You don't have to assume that the sefer and the ratio are both talking about the same scenario. The shlema, or similar scenarios. The shlema ratio loy sagi deloy shalot shalosh kifis. It's true that in the ratio, there's no way to understand it without three groups. After all, it said the expression that the master is saying like that. And therefore, so now we did say before in the Gemara that Abaya could understand as being two groups. But Tosfos pointed out there. In fact, here we see that Abaya himself clearly accepts that in the ratio also there are three groups. Since we say the expression Sharei Harav Oymakein, necessarily we have to be talking about that there was a previous set of Edim that weren't in the Braisa. Otherwise, why would the Rav be saying like that? When Edom come in and say he blinded and knocked out a tooth of his Eved, he wouldn't want to say that. He would try to contradict that because he doesn't want to have to flee his Eved. So in the Reisha, Abaya says, in the Reisha of necessity, you have to have three groups. Shari Katani, Harab, and Matain. El Sefer, Lomali Sholosh Kittis. But after all, Abaya says, in the Sefer, why do you necessarily have to be doichet and say that you have three groups? Especially because not only it means that the Braisa is not mentioning one of the groups, but in fact, Rabbeinu Peretz says it comes out therefore that we're leaving out the middle group in the Reisha. Fine, we can say the Braisa left out the beginning of the story and starts in the middle of the story. Here in the Sefer, if you're going to say like Rava says Abaya, the problem is you have the first set who came and said, you have the last set who are mazim them. You don't really have the middle set expressed in the Braisa at all. You have to infer it. And it's very hard to say that the Braisa should be doing that. Tell us only about the first and last group and leave out the middle one. So therefore, so Abaya says, it's a doichet to say it that way. That's talking about three groups. You're going to say, what about Sharei Eved Omer Kain? What do you mean when the Braisa says, though, because the Eved is saying that, doesn't that imply, in other words, that the Eved is happy with the Eidos that's being given, and that would imply, in other words, that there was another Eidos that hasn't been expressed, because according to the first set, he would be getting only the value of a tooth, and now according to the second set, he's getting the value of an eye. No, not necessarily, because you could say the Eved doesn't really care, even if it's no matter what kind of argument is being presented in his favor that he should go free, he figures, you know what, you know what, I don't really care whether it turns out that whether Basin accepts one set or the other set, and they say that my eye was knocked out first and then my tooth, or the other way around, the tooth and then the eye, I get to go free. I'm not really worried about that. Tosfos wonders, in fact, why we're using the expression kol dehu. It's not kol dehu. The Edom are accomplishing a big thing for him. They're freeing him, that he's going to get freed and he's going to get the value of his eye. But the point is, in other words, that he doesn't really, the Tosfos and the Peretz explains, in other words, that he doesn't really care, even if it comes out he doesn't care. So fine, even if they were just to come and say Edos, that he knocked out one thing, let's say the Edom didn't know about the other one at all, the Eved would still be happy with it because he gets to go free. How much more so when he has Edom that are saying truth or eye, as the case may be, he's happy whichever one it comes out with, because one way or the other, he's getting to go free. And either one of them, as far as he's concerned, are helping him out further by giving him an extra payment as well. So you can say the expression, Tareya Eved Omer Kain, even if we're not talking about many different sets of Edom, even if all we have is one set of Edom that are coming and saying that all he wants, that all he's going to get is to go free and to get the value of a truth, he's happy with that alone. He doesn't need anything more. And therefore, that's why the Braisa can use the expression, Sharei Eved Omer Kain, even if, unlike in the Reisha, where we're saying the master is saying, look, I have to free this Eved no matter what. I would rather at least get away with the lesser penalty of paying for a tooth rather than an eye. He was saying the Eved doesn't really care. The fact that the Edom are coming and saying in the first place that he's going free, that itself is a big thing for him, and therefore he's not so worried about what else they're saying. The fact that they're saying only that he deserves the value of a tooth, when in reality the situation was that he should have been owed the value of an eye. So that's how Abaya and Rava respectively learn the Braisa. And so therefore, the bottom line is, again, that Rava comes out saying that you can have Hakosha followed by Hazama, just because you were Makash Edim, doesn't automatically mean that their Edus is thrown out, and therefore that we can't be Mazim them afterwards. That's according to Rava. And according to Abaya, we do say Hakosha Tchilas Hazama, and according to Abaya, we say Hakosha Tchilas Hazama, and therefore even after the Hakosha, we're still able to be Mazim them. And according to Abaya, we say that no, Hakosha is not Tchilas Hazama. Once we have the Hakosha, then that's it. We tell them, Gegezunta hate, we can't heal your Edus anymore because it's contradicted by another set. And if later on Edom come and say, Imanu Hayisem, then the case is already closed and we don't have Edom's anymore. Now, all this time, though, in the Sugya, we've been assuming that when the master injured the slave in two ways, whether it was eye first and then tooth, or whether it was tooth first then eye, then the evidence is going to go free because of one of them, and he's going to be paid the value, the nezek and sire and so forth, for the other one. So now the Gemara says maskif for Rav Zeira. So now Rav Zeira questions that concept in the first place. It's a bit of an odd thing, Mefoshim point out, it's a bit of an odd thing to use the expression maskif for that. Maskif is usually when you have a statement of Amuroyim, which now we want to point out a Mishnah or a Braisa or something that contradicts it. Here we actually have, it's a Braisa itself that is saying this. So it's a little bit odd to be using. It's a little bit odd to be using the word mask for it. But the Shittimuk Betis brings and says from a sefer called Halicha from the author of a sefer called Halicha Se'olam, which is a sefer on the Klolei Ashas, on the rules of how to understand a piece of Gemara. So he points out once in a while you'll have such a thing. Occasionally the Gemara will use like that the word maskif against the Mishnah or Braisa, even though it's not the usual word for it. It just means he's asking a question on the premise of that Mishnah or Braisa. He mentioned you have a similar thing, for example, at the beginning of Hamaskid, when you have the whole thing over there about that the Shomer is going to get the Shlomei Kefil, but Rami Bar Chama asks on that what happened to Einar and Matan Dava Shalai Bala Olam. So again, I mean, the obvious answer could be that, look, it's a Mishnah, it's entitled to say that, but nevertheless, the Gemara is using the word Maskif, so here it's a similar kind of thing. So, Maskif Bar of Zera. Maybe we should say, if the master blinded the Eved's eye, then he goes free because of the eye. The hippo shine nipuk b'shinoi, and if he knocks out his tooth, he goes free because of the tooth. But maybe we should say, simes enoi v'hippo shinoi. What happens though if he did both? And there was no Omad Badin yet. They hadn't gone to Beis Din yet. Maybe we would say Nipuk Be'enu Vish, you know. Maybe he only goes free because of the eye and the tooth. Maybe we don't say that the master should have to pay at all. So here, all this time, we've been saying the Reisha and the Sefer of the Braisa are taking it as a given that the master does have to pay something, whether it's the value of the eye or the tooth, depending what order things happen and depending what order the Edom testified things happen. But Reb Zera is asking on that whole premise. Why don't we say that, sure, if there was Hamad of a din in between, if he knocked out his eye and they went to Beis Din and Beis Din said, you have to free him, and afterwards he knocked out his tooth, no question. That's not like knocking out the tooth of any other Yisrael ben Chorin, and he'd have to pay for it. But maybe we would say that if he knocked out his eye and his tooth while the guy was still a slave, maybe just the combination of both those things lets him go free, and that's that. There's no extra payment. Abaya answers Reb Zera, Olecha Omakra, to answer you is specifically why the Pasuk says, Tachas Eino. The Pasuk says that the slave goes free instead of his eye. And that means, why does it say Tachas Eino? The Pasuk already said that the master had knocked out his eye. The words Tachas Eino teach us, Voloi Tachas Eino Vashinoi. It means not in return for his eye and his tooth. Similarly, when it says in the next passage, tachas shinoi, means v'loi tachas shinoi ve'enoi, not that it's for the combination of the tooth and the eye. So the pasuk specifically, by mentioning tachas enoi and tachas shinoi, wants you to know that all by itself, one of those two things is enough to set him free, or one of the other 24 Rosh Eivarim, and you don't say that all the injuries that happen at the same, that happen one after the other while he was in Eved, should just count as one thing. No, because since the Pasuk specifically says Tachas Enoi, or Tachas Shinoi, then that tells us it's not like that. So therefore, that brings us back to what the Braisa is saying, that yes, if he knocked out the eye first, he's chayev for the value of the tooth, and if he knocked out the tooth first, then he's chayev for the value of the eye that he did afterwards. Getting back now to Abaya and Rabba, the Gemara says, Omer of Idi Ba'omen, Afanan Nami Tenena. As a matter of fact, this machlokas Abaya and Rabba saying, Chosha Tchilas Hazomahi, we can demonstrate from the Mishnah, from our Mishnah, like what Rabba says, that Chosha Tchilas Hazomahi. Because the Mishnah had said, Gonav Apishnaim, a person stole, and there were two Edom that he stole, the Tovach HaMachar Apihem, and he shechted or sold the animal, and the same two Edom saw him doing that. The Nimtzu Zomin, and those Edom turn out to be, Edom Zomin. Meshamon Loyas HaKol, then they have to pay him everything, because they were trying, so they would have to pay the entire Tashlumi Abba B'Chamisha, because they were trying to make him pay that amount. So now let's consider, says Rabidi. My lab de idu ala gneva, b'chaz yuve idu ala tmicha. Mechora, we're talking about, for example, that they gave Edrus on Sunday that he stole, and then they came back to Beis Din on Monday and said Edrus that he had shechted, v'huzmu ala gneva, and then on Tuesday we found them to be Edom Zemmin, v'chaz yuve huzmu ala tmicha, and then on Wednesday other Edom came and were mazim them on the Tvicha. So they first came, so we have four different days and four different sets of Edos over here. These two Edom, Reuben and Shimon, came to Beis Din on Sunday and said that Yankel stole an am. Monday, these same two, Reuven and Shimon, come back and say that Yankel shechted that animal. Tuesday, Levi and Yehuda come and say, Imanu Hayistem, when you say he stole it, you were with us someplace else. And then on Wednesday, those same two Edom or other Edom come and say, you know what, also Imanu Hayistem, when you say that he shechted. So now, if we assume that that's the scenario, now let's consider. When we were mazim them on the Gneva, when on Tuesday, when we found that there were Edom Zomim about the Gneva, at that point, Havel Hu Mokhoshin, then in effect, they're Mokhoshin, they're already contradicted about the Tvicho Mechira. Not strictly speaking contradicted, Pnei Yeshua points out, but what it means, in other words, at that point, their Edos about the Tvicho Mechira is meaningless, because like we've learned before, without Edos and Gneva, then the Tvicho Mechira doesn't mean anything, because it could just as well be that he shechted his own animal. So that's what we mean by Mokhoshin over here. So once we were mazim them on Tuesday about the Gneva, then their edus about the Tvicho Mechira is meaningless. V'chatoni v'sharmun lo yisakol. Yet the Mishnah is saying that they pay everything. Now, if you're going to tell me not like Rava, and you're going to say like Abaya, that Hakosha is not the beginning of Hazama, meaning that once we were makush them, we can't be mazim them later on, well then... So, Atvicha Amayim Shalmin. Why would they pay as Edom Zomim for the Tvicha? By the time we get to making them pay for the Tvicha, they're already Mukhash on it, because again, once their Edos on the Gneva has been found to be, has been found that they're Edom Zomim on that, then their Edos on the Tvicha is meaningless. So it's the equivalent of it being Mukhash, and yet we're saying that later on, when they come on Wednesday and say Imanu Yisim for the Imanu Yisim at the time when you say that the Shchita took place, then they're still going to be Chayim. Doesn't that show, therefore, that Hakosha is the beginning of Hazama? So therefore, so you have a proof from our Mishnah to Rava. Amri, but they answer back, not necessarily, because very simple, the Mishnah could be talking about a scenario where first we were mazim them on the Tvicha, and only later on the Gneva. So very simple. There was never any akkosha over here. They were mazim them on the tvicha, and that makes them chayev. If things stopped there and there were no further hazomas, then as we said in the Mishnah, the ganav would still have to pay the kefil, and the edim zomim would pay the remaining two or three times because of the tvicha or mechira that they falsely accused them of. Later on, when we're mazim them on the gneva, there's no akkosha involved. Therefore, there's no proof from there to rubber that you can have akkosha before hazom. The Gemara points out, Obitplugta. Now you should know, this machloikas of Abaya and Rava is actually machloikas of other Amiroim as well. Because we have a case, Edom Shehoshur Lovasayf Huzmu. Exactly that. When you have Edom, that first we contradicted them, and then we found them to be Edom Zomim. So, again, for example, Edom came and testified, let's say, that Yankel killed Kopel. Then we have two other Edom who come and say that, no, Yankel did not kill Kopel, because, for example, we were watching Yankel all day and he did no such thing. Or as we're going to have the example at the end of the piece over here, that you could have that Kopel himself walks into Beis Din. But anyway, so then later on, we have other Edom that come and say to Reuven and Shimon, actually, Imanu Hayisim. So never mind whether your Edos is true or not. The fact is, you weren't there at the time. So we say, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue, what's the din of those first Edom, Reuven and Shimon? Chadama neharogin, b'chadama ein neharogin. One says that they're executed because they were trying to get this person executed. So therefore, we do asis and loikash hazamam. And the other one between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar says that no, we're in Neharogin. We don't execute them because there was already Hakasha. Now Tosfos actually gets into a long discussion over here about the question. The Gemara is going to talk about now the point that are they chayav malchus for doing Edom Zomim? But we have a concept called when you have a lav shenitam azharas misas beistin, when you have a lav where there's misas beistin involved, then even if they were warned, don't do this because you're going to get malchus, they're not necessarily going to get malchus because of it, because it's either misa or nothing. So, So Tosfos talks about that. So Tosfos has a long discussion over here that even if we were only matzish them, then they shouldn't be getting malchus either. We're saying that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are arguing whether they get nisa, and the Gemara is going to go on to talk about whether they get malchus. But why would they even be getting malchus at all if the maximum penalty for being Edom Zomin is Nissa? So that would mean any case where they're testifying involving Nissa, there's no possibility of malchus. And so Tosfos discusses at great length and then discusses the point that maybe Edom Zomin are different than that. The whole thing, where do we know that they get malchus is because the pasuk says Loisana Bereacha Eid Shoker. Maybe that's an exception to the rule. Maybe we would say that kind of thing. We have a special limud that by default, Edom Zomin get Malchus if there's no other punishment that we can give them, as it talks about in the beginning of Malchus. So therefore, that's how it would work over here as well. But in any case, the point is, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, one of them says we actually execute them because, according to him, we say that just because we were Malchus them first, that doesn't matter. Their Eder still stands to the extent that we can be Mazim. Okay. So now, the question is, we said Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, one says this and one says this. Which one says this? Which one says which? Kistayim de Rabbi Elazar hu da'ama ein neharogin. We can conclude that Rabbi Elazar is the one who says ein neharogin, that we wouldn't execute them. Da'ama Rabbi Elazar, edim shehuk shuv nefesh loikin, because Rabbi Elazar said that when you have a case of edim and dini nefashis, and we remaktish them, then Rabbi Elazar says we give them malchus. So, based off that, Rabbi Elazar hu da'ama neharogin, if Rabbi Elazar is the one who says they get executed on my loikin, why would they get malchus? That would be, like we just said, a case of a lab where there's mitzvahs based in involved, and the rule is, when you have such a thing, you don't say, let's say, for example, with Shabbos, the maximum penalty for Shabbos when there's Edim Bahasra is stila. We don't say that if the Edim gave him hasra and said, don't do this malacha because you're going to be chayav malchus, and he goes ahead and does it anyway. We're not saying he's going to be chayav malchus because we're going to say it's misa or nothing. If they don't give him hasra for misa, then he's not going to get malchus or anything else. So now, if Rabbi Elazar were to hold that we execute these edim, then how can he say that when we makish them, they would give them malchus? According to him, they can even be executed if it turns out that if we're mazim them. Obviously, in this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, it must be therefore that we're talking about that when we were makish them and then they were mazim them, ein neharogin, he would hold. We're not ever killing them. Therefore, he can say, well, if there's no possibility of them ever being killed as a result of the hakasha, then yes, once there was hakasha, he would say that you can't kill them anymore. Then yes, you could give them malchus. So obviously then, tisayim. So that proves that. So Rabbi Elazar then would be, Rabbi Elazar would say that they're not being executed, and therefore, so why is that? Because once we were makhish them, then that's it. We have to stop there. We can never be mazim them. Therefore, he says they can get malchus, but there's no possibility afterwards of being mazim them and giving Mrs. Spacekin, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is going to disagree and say that you could still be mazim them like Rava, and therefore they're not going to get malchus necessarily. So we can talk about maybe whether they would get malchus if we were never mazim them, but we are able to be mazim them, says Rabbi Yochanan, and they would be chayav Mrs. Spacekin in that case, like Rava says. Okay, the Gemara says, though, you have to ask, according to Rabbi Elazar, what do you mean loikin? What do you mean the second set should, what do you mean that the either set, what are you saying, that if the Edom were contradicted, then loikin they should get malchus? How can they get malchus? Today or today ninu? After all, you have two Edom against two Edom. My cause is the samchas ahani, smoich ahani. Why are you saying necessarily rely on one set? You could equally well rely on the second set. Nela, when it comes to Edom zomin, it's a xeris hakosov, it's a chidush, as we learned the other day, that the Torah says in the case of Edom Zomin, believe the second set and not the first. But when it comes to Hakosha, there's no such thing. Either one could be telling the truth, either one could be lying. Why should we say, how can we say that either set should get malchus? So the answer is, Amar Abaya, b'bahoru b'raglov. We're talking about the case where the person they claimed was killed actually walked into Beis Din on his own 2 feet. So obviously, and then therefore, the first set who said that Yankel had killed him, obviously we're lying, because now we see the guy is actually alive, So therefore, so that's when Rabbi Elazar would say that you could give them malchus, because it's obvious that they were lying. It's true that in a different case, if let's say the guy doesn't walk in, and we find out later on that the guy was that the guy is dead, but we can't be sure whether in fact Yankel killed him or not. It's true we can't give either set malchus, because how would we know which set to trust? Okay. Mishnah says. So now, in the last couple of Mishnayos, we've talked about several cases where there's a bit of a chiddush that a person pays tashlumei arba v'chamisha. We had cases where a person shechted the animal on Yom Kippur. We had cases where he stole from his father and shechted while his father was alive. He sold it on Shabbos or to Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. So now we're going to talk about, on the other hand, cases where he does not pay Tashlum Arba V'Chamisha for one reason or another. So the Mishnah says, Gonav HaPishnayim B'Tova HaMachar Al Pi Eidechad. If the theft, there were two Eidim for the theft, but there's only one aid for the Tova HaMachar, so then obviously one aid is not enough. We're going to see in the Gemara actually what the chiddush for that is. Or another example would be that he himself admits in Beistin that he shechted the animal. Meshalom tashlumei kefil, and meshalom tashlumei adalad v'hei, then he would pay tashlumei kefil, not the tashlumei arba v'chamisha, because you can't make him pay that based on one aid, and you also can't make him pay based on his own hoidah, because again, when it comes to a knas, moed b'knas potter. Continues the Mishnah. Gonav the tavach the Shabbos. What about if he stole the animal and shechted it on Shabbos, which we talked about earlier in the perek? Then he's meschayev benafsho. He's chayev nisa for doing a malacha on Shabbos, and therefore come later d'rabaminei. We talked about earlier in the perek there can be a case where he's chayev where he told somebody else to shecht it, but whatever. The point is that he himself shechted it. Therefore he's meschayev benafsho. Also, gonna for tavach l'avodah zarah. Similarly, if he stole the animal and shechted it for avodah zarah, so he becomes chayiv nisa for worshipping avodah zarah with that. Another case would be gonna of mishal ov, so therefore come with the dead eh? Another case would be gonna of mishal aviv or mes aviv. If he stole an animal from his father, then his father died by achakach tavach hamachar, and then he shechted or sold the animal. So now we say, as we learned before, shaloihu teveach, shaloihu moichar. He has at least a partial ownership of this animal, so we can't be mechayiv him for shechting or selling it, unlike in the previous case where he shechted or sold it while his father was still alive. And we talked about the other day, they were omad b'din, and we're talking about only after omad b'din, we went through all that. Also, another case would be gonav the hikdish v'achakach tabach. If he stole the animal and he was makdish it, where you have, let's say, now we learned earlier in the perek that a ganav can't always be makdish something. We would have to have that he's koneh it somehow. For example, with yush and shinu rishus, so whatever. So he stole it and then he was makdish it in such a way that it's chal. For example, after yush. And then he shechted or sold. Then he shechted or stole or sold the animal. So now tashlumei arba v'chamisha do not apply to hekdesh. So in all those cases, mashan tashlumei kefil, then mashan tashlumei arba v'chamisha. So in all those cases, he's paying only kefil and nothing more. Reb Shimon disagrees on that last one, and he says it depends what kind of kodshim we're talking about. Kodshim shechayev achriyusam mashan tashlumei dalad behei. When it's kodshim that he's responsible for making up for them. Namely, we've talked about before, you have the concept of neder versus nedava. Neder is where he says, so first of all, there can be a case where he's makdish it as a korban that he's chayev in. For example, you could have where, let's say, he's chayev a chatas or an osham, and he was makdish that animal, then he's chayev b'achriyusam, because if he fails to bring this animal as a korban, he's just going to have to bring a different one. But among voluntary korbanos, there's a difference between neder and nedava, where if he said harei olai, I obligate myself to bring a korban, then when later on he designates this one, he's going to be responsible for that later on if this animal becomes unavailable, as opposed to when he says harezu, when to begin with he says this one will be a korban, then we don't have, then we say if that animal becomes unavailable, then he's not chayiv to make up for it. So therefore, Shimon draws a distinction. Kodshim shechayiv achriyosam. When you have kodshim where he's going to be responsible to make up for them, then mishalom tashlumei dalad v'hei. Those he would pay tashlum arba v'chamisha for, because to that extent they're considered like his mamon, or the mamon of the original owner, rather than the mamon of hekdesh. V'she'en chayav b'achriyusam, only the one thing, not chayav b'achriyusam, where it's a voluntary korban, and he said harei zu to begin with, then there's no monetary chiyuv in there in the first place, because if the animal becomes unavailable, he's potter, so therefore potter say he'd also be potter from tashlum al bal hamisha, because Rav Shimon says that fully belongs to him. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, al piyed echad pshita. You're telling me in the Mishnah that if he sold the animal or shechted it, and there's one aid to that effect, that he's potter, of course, one aid, always there, is there, you're always potter in the case of one aid. Now the Gemara is going to give an, so the Gemara is going to give an answer, but actually, the Akiva Eger wonders, don't you have, I mean, after all, if you have one aid, then the person should be chayav a shvua, and since here he can't swear because he's choshered of stealing, so one aid would make a difference. Wouldn't the owner of the animal be able to swear as happens in such cases and be able to collect the tashlum al bal hamisha? And Rabbi Akiva Eger explains that no, one aid is not machayev shvua when it comes to a knas, because after all, with knas he can also be moida and he would be potter from it. So therefore, also one aid can't make him have to swear on it. And then there are different achronim talk about different other angles on that. In any case, for now the Gemara is asking. So obviously, if there's only one aid, how can he be machayev? So the answer is Amri. The answer, the Mishnah is not mentioning Eid Echad because there's such a chidush in that. It's mentioning Eid Echad in order to compare the case of Api Atzma to the case of Api Eid Echad. Ma Api Eid Echad, what do we mean when one Eid comes? It means Ki Osi Eid Echad, only one Eid comes, Mitzaref Bahadeh, and if another Eid were to come and join together with him, Michayev, then the guy would be Chayev, because now you have two Eidim. Well, by the same token, Api Atme Nami, then the same thing when it comes to when he admits on his own that he shechted it, he also Edim Michayim. If the implication of the Mishnah is, if Edim afterwards were to come, then he would in fact be Chayim. And that would be the point of the Mishnah, therefore, would be V'apukhi the Rav Huna Amar Rav. Therefore, the Mishnah, by saying that, is implying not like Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, the Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mordi B'Knas V'achakach Bo Edim Potter, where Rav Huna quotes in the name of Rav, that if a person admits that he's chayiv in a knas, and later on, Edim come, so he'd still be potter because he got there ahead of them. So now the Mishnah, but the wording of the Mishnah by mentioning al piyatzmoy, oy al piyeda, al piyed echad, oy al piyatzmoy, is implying that it's not so. The same way as aid echad, he's not forever going to be potter. It depends whether another aid comes. The same way we're not going to say that if he admits he's always necessarily off the hook. It will really depend on whether Edim come later on, as Shmuel says, and as we're going to learn in detail about that tomorrow.